Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 5, Text 25, a little bit low. Sava etasya samdrashtu Shakti sada saratmika Maya nama mahabhaga Yayedam nirmame vibho. Sa, word for word. Sa, that external energy. Va is either etasya of the Lord, samdrashtu of the perfect seer, shakti energy, sat asat atmika, as both the cause and the effect, mayanama, called by the name Maya, mahabhaga. O fortunate one, yaya, by which idam, this material world, nirmame, constructed, vibhu, the Almighty. Translation, the Lord is the seer, and the external energy which is seen works as both cause and effect in the cosmic manifestation. O greatly fortunate Vidura, this external energy is known as Maya, or illusion, and through her agency only is the entire material manifestation made possible. Translation, please repeat. The Lord is the seer, and the external energy, which is seen, works as both cause and effect in the cosmic manifestation. O greatly fortunate Vidura, this external energy is known as Maya, or illusion, and through her agency only is the entire material manifestation made possible. Purport. Material nature, known as Maya, is both the material and efficient cause of the cosmos. But in the background, the Lord is the consciousness for all activities. As in the individual body, the consciousness is the source of all energies of the body, so the supreme consciousness of the Lord is the source of all energies in material nature. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 9:10 as follows: Maya dakshena prakriti sujite sa characharam hetunanena kantaya jagat vipari varasate. Throughout all the energies of material nature, there is the hand of the Supreme Lord as the final superintendent. Due to this supreme cause, only the activities of material nature appear planned and systematic, and all things regularly evolve. Sava etasya samdrashtu shakti sat asat atmika mayanam mahabhaga aidam nirmame vibhu. The Lord is the seer. The external energy which is seen works as both cause and effect in the cosmic manifestation. O greatly fortunate Vidura, this external energy is known as Maya, or illusion, and through our energy only is the entire material manifestation made possible. This divine energy is very difficult to overcome, but one who surrenders unto me very easily crosses beyond it. From Bhagavad Gita. Daivyesha, my divine energy, Maya, or illusion. Things apparently seem one way, but actually they are another way. This is the meaning of illusion. And we are, unfortunately, are completely entangled in this illusion, the conditioned souls. this is now it is said that the Lord has unlimited energies. And in fact, Arjuna asked this question to Krishna. We start in Atmana Jogam, Vibhutim Chajanarana, Bhuyakataya Tipti, Stinvanastimimritam. I want to hear about all your opulences, Krishna, all your energies. Please explain these things to me, for your words are like nectar coming into my ear. Amrita. Nectar. And Prabhupada explains that for a devotee, any aspect of Krishna is like nectar. It is not that only Rasa-lila, Krishna and Radha and the gopis, that is the nectar, other things are not nectar. Anything connected with Krishna for the devotee, for the advanced devotee, that is nectar. Just like I was saying yesterday, when Prabhupada was walking on the beach, one devotee said that, oh, it is difficult for me to think of Krishna when I'm walking on the beach. There are so many distractions. And Prabhupada replied, I only think of Krishna. So Prabhupada, when he sees the ocean, when he sees the sky, when he sees the sun, the moon, he's thinking Krishna. How they are connected. For him, everything is Krishna. It is Krishna, but not Krishna. It's Krishna, the personality, and Krishna, and the energies of Krishna. On the absolute platform, they are one and the same. There is no difference. Only the difference is there in the personality and the extended energy. Krishna, of course, expands himself in so many. Svayam Prakash, Svayam Vilas, Svayam Prabhav, Vaibhav. So many technical understandings of Krishna's immediate expansion, like Balaram, and he expands in the female form as Radharani. From Radharani come all the different gopis, and also from Radharani come all the, actually it is mentioned that all the queens of Dwarka are actually expansions coming from that side of Krishna, Radha, the queens of Dwarka, and the Lakshmis, all are from Radharani's side. And from Krishna's side we have Balaram, and Swayam Prakash, Vilas, the forms of Krishna that are acting exactly like each other, just like in the Rasa dance. The Rasa dance, Krishna is dancing with each gopi, maybe dancing a little bit in a different way to the other Krishna, but all the forms are the same. This is a Swayam Prakash, all the forms are the same. And Swayam Vilas, a little bit different form. Balaram is a little bit different form. Krishna expanded. But the amazing thing is that when Krishna expands himself, these personalities are personalities unto their own selves. They are not just, they are acting in their own way, just like all the incarnations, all the forms of the Lord in the Vaikuntha. Lord Narasingha, Lord Padmanabha, Lord Rishikesha, so on. Vilas, for the there's Vaibhav, Prakash, Vaibhav, Prabhav, Vaibhav, some are full potency, some are partial potency, like that. All in the spiritual world, and he has so many energies. So when Arjuna asked this question, he was very much enthused to hear all these different things. Of course, Krishna answered him, Hantate katayasyami divya yatme bhutaya pratanyadak. Yes, I will explain, but only of my prominent ones, because my opulences are unlimited. And Prabhupada explains there that it is not possible for the ordinary living entity to understand the extent of Krishna's energies and opulences. They are unlimited. We are parts and parcels. We are, just like Krishna expands in various incarnations, expansions and so on, we are also expansion, but we are the separated, the difference between us and the Godhead expansions. We are the separated expansions. They are the immediate expansions. And so the energies are also expanded. And so there's so many, they're working in so many ways, so many different types. And so Krishna said, you will not, I will tell you the prominent. And for a devotee, it's not that he wants to necessarily understand. He understands that he can't understand all that. But he is satisfied just to hear of whatever Krishna wants to explain to him. That's what Prabhupada explains. This was Arjuna's position. Arjuna, being an elevated devotee himself, understood that point, that Krishna is unlimited. When he said, I want to hear all your opulences, he understood within his own self that, well, he just, anything that Krishna wanted to describe, Arjuna was very enthusiastic to hear about it. So an advanced devotee likes any aspect. And just like we're attending Srimad Bhagavatam class. Now this section is about Maya, material energy, how all the expansions. Actually, you'll find interestingly, in the Srimad Bhagavatam with the Bhagavat Purana, all the Puranas, or most of the Puranas, start early with this type of description about Krishna and how he expands, and the different Vishnus and the different energies, and or how the demigods come, the same description is given. And right throughout Srimad Bhagavatam, other Puranas, different places, Bhagavad Gita also describes these things. Krishna has to say in Bhagavad Gita, others are describing again and again. Sometimes it seems a little repetitious. I was giving a lecture in Sydney, and one lady said that she was a Buddhist from Thailand. And she said that, yes, in Thailand we have I come from the Buddhist, and we have similar understanding of these types of the prakriti, the energy, and maybe not about expansions and all that, but I was talking a little bit more about karma. Yes, we understand about karma. Seems that these things are repeated over and over again. I said, yes, they have to be repeated over and over again because you foolishly don't want to understand or follow them. Just like in India, quite often I give lectures, and then sometimes the people come later and say, yes, Swami, you're very nice, but we're already knowing these things. Yes, they're very good, but the problem is that you are not following these things. You're knowing, or are you knowing? But you have to follow. The knowledge becomes complete when you, just like anything, you get the theory and then you put it into the practice. Then it becomes complete. Then that's a realization, jnana and vijnana. So it's expected, just like you go to school, you go to university, you get the theory, and it's expected that it's not expected that it'll just be theory. It'll remain theory, isn't it? Anywhere in the world, you're studying engineering, you'll just be studying engineering your whole life. Well, some of them are like that, but I mean to say, the idea is that you study the engineering, you study the medicine, you study the law, the architecture, or you want to be the plumber, you do the apprenticeship, you want to be the electrician. Were you going to do the apprenticeship your whole life? No. You will learn these things and then you will do these things. Though in the material world it's like that. So spiritually also, we are learning these things, we are studying the Bhagavatam, we are hearing these things over and over. Revision. Actually in school, I remember, I don't know if it's still, but towards the end of the year they would have revision. What you learnt through the year? Revision needs to be. Why? Because Kali Yuga, we're living in the Kali Yuga. Our memories, we can't remember yesterday even. If I asked you what were the points in yesterday's class, even I would have trouble remembering it, and I spoke it. So our memories gone, and this is Kali Yuga, and become less and less and less. But in the former ages, people were just here, they would remember these things. What a blessing. I mean, imagine the people would pay anything to be able to have that type of memory. Imagine if there's someone that developed a pill. Take this pill and your memory will remember everything. Oh, you'd pay anything for that thing. But no. But of course, there was some person. I said that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was Shrutidhara. He was like like what they call the photographic memory. If someone said something, he'd remember that thing. He would talk about any subject and remember so many things. But the lifestyle and then Kali Yuga, the absorption in sense gratification, the nature of the age doesn't allow for these things. So there has to be repetition. There has to be revision. Prabhupada would repeat the same thing: "You are not the body. You are the spirit soul." Don't get into the Maya. Don't don't get into the illusion that these things are spoken about here today by Maitreya. And these questions are asked by Vidura. And Vidura is a very intimate associate of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In one sense, he doesn't really need to ask these questions. These are very basic things, Prakriti, Maya, those are very intimate devotees. They don't have to worry about Maya. They're just thinking about Krishna. If you're always thinking about Krishna, Maya is in the back. Maya is actually the servant of Krishna. She is the energy of Krishna. But anyway, today we're learning that how actually the cause of everything is the energy that's expanded from Krishna, Maya. It is divine. Daivi Yeshu Gunamayi. It is very powerful. It is the cause of everything that is, you see, everything in the world, and is the effect of it all. It is the efficient effect, I think it is the terms you see. The efficient effect that it causes, the cause, everything is manifest through the agency of this energy, and then anything, actions that happen and then reactions that happen also are put into place by this energy coming from the Supreme Personality. But now, Prabhupada emphasizes here, and I noted that due to the Supreme Cause only, the activities of material nature appear planned and systematic. This is a very important point. Because a material energy is working so wondrously, people are very fascinated. Those who are, especially they're not devotees, many are studying the material nature. They spend their whole lives studying minutely, trying to understand the cause of it, the different effects. And they conclude that in of itself, this cosmos, this energy, it is functioning of itself. There is nothing behind it. There's nothing beyond it. It is due to this energy, it is working so miraculously in so many wondrous ways that everything is going on. But here, Prabhupada, and he quotes from Bhagavad Gita, Maya Dakshena Prakriti Sujiti Sacharacharam Etuna Nena Konta Jagrati Paribhati. No, it is working under my direction, Krishna says. It's working under my direction. Now, apparently, it appears that it is going on of itself, automatically. And it appears that way because it's so vast. When you're small and something's totally enveloping you from all positions, small and big, there's things going on small that even you can't fathom, even on a small microscopic level, you can't fathom. So on all platforms, up, down, big, small, it is totally surrounding us. And to us, it seems that this is the cause of everything. It is so powerful. And the effects that happen are just the interaction of this gigantic energy working in different ways. And this is generally the conclusion of people today and, your scientists and your, researchers, and they conclude and they study and they, as I said, they spend their whole lives coming up with, they're doing their research and coming to conclusions and presenting and talking with each other and getting together and so on and so forth. But Prabhupada said, no, behind it all is Krishna. And when you think about it logically, how things are going on so systematic, this is an important point here by Prabhupada, so systematically, the sun comes up. I mean, you can go and find out what time exactly the sun will come up tomorrow. What time exactly it'll set. And next week, and the week after. And the moon, and the tides. Today the low tide will be this time. The high tide will be this time. Exactly, they can tell you. Right? The moon will be, moonrise will be this time. Moon set will be this time. And next week like that. Next month like this. 6 months will be like this. Of course, some things are going on in an unpredicted way, like winds and storms and all this type of thing. And so foolishly they conclude, well, everything must be, sometimes planned, sometimes unplanned, sometimes predictable, sometimes unpredictable. So it is just this energy that's working predictably and unpredictably and so on. But no, even if you say unpredictably, what is the cause of that? And definitely predictably, these movements, how is this happening? Are they just the sun by itself is planning to come up at a certain time? It is conscious of its own self, just as an energy. Material energy is just made of elements, the atoms. So by themselves, they have some sort of consciousness or something that they, the sun has. Of course, we say, yes, there are personalities, sun god, and behind all that is Krishna. But just as far as materially speaking, how is it that the sun can come up exactly? You often think about these things, isn't it? How is the tide can come in exactly? Is it by itself thinking about this? The ocean is thinking. The ocean is thinking tomorrow on St. Kilda Beach, I'll come in at this time, at this height. The next day, it'll be a minute later or whatever it's going to be. Right? Is it thinking, has it got that power to do something like that? So, they have all their explanations and things. But when you think of it objectively and logically, and here Prabhupada explains, it is the supreme cause. There's the material energy is one cause, it's a secondary cause. Secondary. The supreme original, he is behind everything. But he is, it is mentioned, Mayada Kshena Prakriti Sujite Sacha. It is going on under my direction. And also, Sava Jonasa Kuntaya Murtaya Sabhavantiya Tasham Brahma Ham Bija Pratapita. I am the seed giving father. the seed giving by the arrangement, by the glance of the Supreme Personality of God, this was mentioned in the previous verses, the living entities are impregnated. This combination of living entity and material energy is existing everywhere in the cosmos. From this planet Earth to the higher planets to the lower planets, everywhere this combination is there. And it's only and the point is made here also that the body has life and consciousness and is active only due to the presence of the consciousness within, the living entity. So in a supreme way, the whole cosmos only appears to have life because of the presence of the Supreme Personality. But he is not entangled, he is as neutral. At the same time, only by his energy does everything go on. So this is the way Krishna explains and the way devotees understand. I am the seed-giving. Now, Krishna's also, he's not an irresponsible father. Just like we have fathers, seed-giving fathers, they go away after giving their seed. But Krishna's like that. He is the seed-giving father. He enters also into the material nature as a super soul. He enters even into the atoms. And he is maintaining everything, just like a responsible father. Right? Just like a responsible father. Father will be responsible, irresponsible. Just like in the material world, especially in Kali Yuga, we have so many irresponsible fathers. They go away. Isn't it? They go away. So many births may be there, they go away. But Krishna, no, he is maintaining everything, entering everything. This is very, very important. Due to the Supreme Cause only. Material energy cannot work, even though she's so powerful, she cannot work by herself. There must be the touch of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, as we read, Mayada Kshena Prakriti. And unfortunately, the conditioned souls, they forget their position. They become an illusion, overwhelmed by the powerful material energy. They become conditioned by the effects of the material, especially the gunas. Sattvam rajastamariti guna prakriti samvibandanto mahayayanam. Nimbada, they become entangled, become overwhelmed by it. They, like gunas, are like ropes. They're bound up by the ropes of the material energy, especially the modes of nature. and act in different ways. Of course, this is an arrangement to fulfill their separated desires, but nevertheless, this is what happens. We become in illusion, so much in illusion, we are thinking ourselves one way or the other way. But how life is so temporary, we are identifying with the body. Body will end due to this association. We are thinking so many things. And generally, and especially in Kali Yuga, living entity, because they are in ignorance, they are acting in a way that further perpetuates their entanglement. And they gradually go down and down and down. There's a funny story I was just remembering. I don't know, it's a little bit, a funny story that Prabhupada told one time. He said that, he actually said, "Do you want to hear a funny story?" He said, "What the?" He said, "One time a man was walking to the field to pass stool. So after he passed stool, he looked down at the stool in disgust. And the stool looked up at him and said, 'What are you looking at me like that for? Before I was a beautiful Gulab Jamun, but just see what happened to me after your association.'" So we were a beautiful living entity, pure, with Krishna. Just look what happened to us due to bad association. this is the purport of this story. So unfortunately, the modes of nature, someone's acting in the goodness, someone's acting in the passion, ignorance. Of course, in Kali Yuga, mainly passion and ignorance. And it will be seen in the symptoms of their lives. You know, someone will be very angry, some will be very violent, some will be very envious, some will be very lazy, some will be more in the goodness, so on and so forth. But all will be in the illusion. But if we can come out of it as Krishna wants us to, And Krishna, in many ways, through Arjuna, through so many others, he himself comes, tries to bring us out of this illusion. If you surrender unto me, it is very difficult to overcome. But if you surrender unto me, it can be very easily, the ocean of materialism can be very easily crossed. So, one has to situate themselves fully in the Krishna consciousness. It is very, very difficult for the materialist to free himself from the effects of the material energy. For them, spiritual life is far distant. Far, far distant. And as I was saying yesterday, practically these days in the Kali Yuga, people are working. Who is thinking of the spiritual life? Let alone who is involving themselves in spiritual practice. Yatantra yoginas chayanam paschatyatmanya vashtra. You know, Krishna actually says that unless one, even you may know of spiritual life, but unless you become a practitioner of it, still you'll try to understand things you will not completely be able to understand. You have to not only know about spiritual, you have to practice it. Very, very important. Because by practicing, you become more purified, we can get more and more realization. I remember at my initiation, Prabhupada said that to all initiates. He said, "Now you're initiated, now you have to become pure as quickly as possible." Don't risk another life in the material world. Go back home, back to God at the end of this life. So this is the situation. But so surrendering unto Krishna, so the surrendering process, the acharyas explain how to surrender to Krishna, how to understand Krishna, how to follow enthusiastically, with confidence, with determination. One has to follow all the things. In any time, and any accident can happen. don't take any chances. All right, I'll read this verse again. Sava etasya sandrashtu shakti sarasaratmika maya nama mahabhagap yaidam nirmame vibhu. The Lord is the seer, and the external energy which is seen works as both cause and effect in the cosmic manifestation. O greatly fortunate Vidura, this external energy is known as maya or illusion, and through agency only is the entire material manifestation made possible. Any questions and comments? Yes, please.
Thank you, Prabhupada. You're talking about the importance of applying what we've heard. My misfortune is that I try to get the best of both worlds, having spiritual knowledge but sense gratification.
Well, that's a little bit of an illusion, isn't it? We think that the mix is better than the spiritual. You understand? Of course, one has to, while living in the world, one has to do their duties. So that's approved by all the acharyas, especially grihasthas and so on and so forth. But if you have a mentality, I want to enjoy the spiritual life, and I also want to enjoy the material life, and I think that's better than just trying to place myself purely in the spiritual life, then that's our illusion, And Maya is not so tricked. Neither is Krishna. If you want to be successful and go beyond the effects of the material world, you have to let go of all attachments. You have to be pure. Just like we used to do I remember here many times, we used to do that rocks play. Some of the older devotees probably would remember the rocks play, that the boy was carrying so many rocks. And each rock had a name, the house rock, and the car rock, and the girlfriend rock, and the work rock. And so he was carrying it, and he was thinking, oh, I've got all these rocks, they're great, but after a while he was struggling, oh, they're so heavy. Then, he went a while, and then he saw on the other side of the river some devotees just chanting and dancing in ecstasy. And he thought that, oh, that looks very nice, I wouldn't mind joining them. And the devotee said, yeah, come over here and join us. So then he started to go over, and he had to get across the river. So as he was trying to get across the river, he's taking his rocks with him, of course. And so he couldn't. He was, oh, no, it's too difficult. So the devotees kept calling out, throw away your rocks. Throw away your rocks. We used to do this play quite regularly. Throw away your rocks. So, oh no, I want my rocks. No, you have to throw them. Well, all right, well, I'm not attached to this one. I'll throw this one away. And then he threw this one away. And then he said, still, he couldn't. No, no, throw all of them away. You'll never make it to the other side. Oh, no, no. All right, I'll throw this one away and this one. But still, he still had too many rocks. No, all of them have to go. You'll never make it. The only way. So in the end, he wised up and he just threw all the rocks away, and then he was able to swim across to the island, join the devotees, and he was dancing and chanting in ecstasy. So we've got so many rocks of attachment. So only when we actually throw away these. I mean, we can do our duty, but without attachment. Remember I was saying yesterday? We desire to see results, and so we have to understand the difference between wanting to see results but without attachment, and results with attachment. These attachments that you want to keep to yourself, ultimately, if you want to go back to Krishna, you have to let them all go. Don't be attached to these things. And that actually is the highest position. So we may think that the combination of both is, oh, that is the nectar. But that means you really haven't tasted the nectar. That's what that means. Because if you really tasted the nectar of Krishna consciousness, there'd be no question. Let me take and keep the combination. That is just like not a consideration. Those are very advanced devotees who are actually tasting the nectar. It is so blissful that they don't even think of anything else. they're enjoying so much the nectar of Krishna consciousness. It's like amritam, honey pouring into the ears and the mouth and all that. So you don't think of the other things. Of course, these are very, very advanced devotees. But our goal should be try to go there. Don't think that, keep the combination. And that's risky also, because material energy is, you can't cage her in like that. She'll turn around and grab you, pull you in further. She's very powerful. She's doing her service, testing you and fulfilling your desires under Krishna's arrangement. So we have to understand it in that way. Any other question? Yes.
How do you attain detachment?
How do you attain?
What's the process to detach from this material thing?
How do you get free from?
Chanting,
and associated. Lord Chaitanya said two things especially in the Kali Yuga. He said the chanting and association with the great devotees. Strong association and lots of chanting. Then gradually these material attachments will go. Are you doing like that? You have to do more. I remember one time Prabhupada told Jayadharma that. Jayadharma went to in Perth. Jayadharma said, Prabhupada, you know, I'm chanting, but I'm still feeling anxiety, Prabhupada. He said, are you chanting all your rounds? Prabhupada said. Jayadharma said, yes, I'm chanting all my rounds. Then chant more. Then he said, I said 16 rounds minimum, not maximum. He said, chant more. Still anxiety? You feel you're chanting? Still? More chanting. One time in Adelaide, I finished the lecture and one lady asked, what do you do for your meditation? I said, we chant Hare Krishna. Yeah, but what else do you do? I said, we chant more Hare Krishna. When you're actually chanting and absorbed in the chanting, there's no need for anything else. That I remember reading years ago that when Prabhupada was talking to that, who's it, Lou Gottlieb, you know, remember the early days in San Francisco, Lou was driving him up to that Morningstar ranch that was back then, and he was talking about all the different spiritual paths, and Prabhupada was in the back, and Prabhupada listened for a while, then he interrupted. He said, Mr. Lou, he said, when you've actually attained the absolute position, and all other things are superfluous. They're superfluous. When you actually attain. If you haven't attained, then you may think these the other things are important. But when you actually attain, no need for anything. Now, you've reached the top of the hill. You reach the top, you can see everything. You don't need to go back down again. All right, thank you very much. One last question. Yes, Prabhu. You mean your chant and you? What's your question exactly? That you still feel some attachment, is there? And sometimes come back again. Prabhupada answered that one time. I said that he said that means your chanting is not pure. I mean, Prabhupada answered in many different ways, but I remember this answer that if someone is getting above attachment, then attachments come back. And that is to be, expected, because we're beginning devotees. Sometimes you're going well, sometimes not so well. This is due to our attachment. And also due to the improper answer, that means your chanting is not pure. So pure chanting means you have to avoid the offenses in the chanting and all these types of things. So you have to examine how you are chanting. Because sometimes you may be chanting well, sometimes not so well. Sometimes maybe chanting, maybe other things you're not doing so well. And also you're allowing yourself to contemplate these things. Therefore, it's to be expected because we're beginning the devotee. Therefore, from time to time, there has to be some readjustment. Just like if you were sick, you go to the doctor, he gives you the prescription. Sometimes there is a recurrence. He checks, is he actually following the prescription given? He checks first. And then, okay, so maybe we have to slightly do something here. Understand? So therefore, and then you seek advice also. And then you go to the guru, go to the other. I'm feeling like this. Let's see. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai Shri Radha Vallabha ki, Jai Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.